Right.
Oh.
We are recording.
There we go. We are recording.
Welcome to another episode of Drive Dance Hockey. That was a quick intro. How are you, Ant? What's going on?
You know, just trying to survive, not getting attacked by bears in the woods, you know, just living.
Spoiler for who we're, talking about tonight.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this before we get in. So, if it wasn't already clear, we're going to talk about the Seattle Kraken today. And, this news, and I kid you not, as we were preparing for this episode, we were looking up news articles on Seattle and this turned up. So apparently they were doing some promo videos during the off season. And the Seattle Kraken mascot was on a fishing trip. Forward John Hayden and the team's mascot, Bowie, were fishing when they encountered a grizzly bear. And there is some footage of it. Is this actually footage or, yeah?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. That is some scary stuff. bears in the lake? Well, I mean, I guess because they have all the... You know, the
fish,
the fish, the forest, the outdoor living out there in the greater Seattle area. And, you're liable to run into some bears.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
That
suit ain't going to save you either.
That'll save you from maybe one hit. That bear. Yeah.
You may absorb one fatal blow.
But you know what? The good news for John Hayden, he's not going to be the slowest one out there. And that's all you got to be. You just have to be not the slowest.
Yeah. And that holds true with, the zombie apocalypse. I don't have to be the fastest. I just have to be faster than one other person. Those tasty treats and sweets might be all well and good, but in a zombie apocalypse, you're just a liability. It's like, oh, making fun of the person doing calisthenics and eating clean and all those good things, and then things go to the wayside and they're out. They're sprinting full on, and you're like, I'm so dead. I'm so dead. It's like maybe if I climb a tree. I don't know. Do they climb trees? That's good lord. Yeah. So that's the moral of the story. You just have to be faster than one other person.
It's a good,
which is kind of funny today because I had to run in Penn Station for the first time to catch a train.
Oh, really? How'd that go?
Oh, I'm still feeling it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my lord. Well, so my boss and I usually take the same train home on Sundays, and we both depart at different places. I go more north. He goes a little bit more west. So we take the first train out of New York, and then it kind of separate from there. I'm the first stop. He's the second stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then on to our prospective homes. And he's like, hey, man, I got to stay and do payroll. But if you leave now, you got 7 minutes to catch the train, the subway to Penn Station. The next one's not for 22 minutes. I was like, all right, cool. So I book it. I get to the entrance, and there's a family of three generations of people doing touristy things in front of the entrance to the subway.
Oh my
and I'm like,
God.
You pick the worst spot to stand. And there's nothing there. It's just buildings. There's nothing there's no amazing thing to see. It's just literally a shoe store. And it's not even a good shoe store. It's just a generic shoe store. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And then there's a Starbucks. We've all seen a Starbucks. So it's it's not like there's anything amazing. So I hop down the stairs, I get to the train, and I feel the breeze from the train leaving because you see that cold air coming through the tunnel. And I'm like, I missed it, son of a gun. And my boss sees me standing there all depressed. I'm walking to the end where to stand, and he runs up on me and kind of startles me a bit. He goes, bro, I sent the photo of you to Christine, just with the caption, you need to learn how to walk faster. And he shows me the photo. I'm kind of slunched over walking all depressed because I missed it.
Oh my God. But
we get on the train, the subway, we get to Penn Station, and it's like, dude, we got they're boarding. We got to go. Are you ready? And I'm like, yeah. And he just takes off. And I'm like, oh my God. So I'm chasing him to the subway.
Yeah.
And we get to this part. He's a lot more agile than I am. He jukes around like this family of people with like luggage and stuff. And as I'm running, they walk into my area and I get like blocked. So I get stuck. I'm like, all right, I guess I missed it. And he's at the end of the staircase laughing because where'd you go? I'm like, I got stopped. You got through.
Oh my God.
We get to this train. I sit down. I'm absolutely gassed. Like, I'm like, this is my nightmare. This is how you blow a hamstring. And he texts me like 20 minutes later because we get through. Everything's fine. He goes, did you make it? I was like, yeah, everything's good. Thank you. And I was like, that's the most cardio I've done in a decade. And he just starts laughing. And he's like, but he says, yeah, I don't run that much either. I'm like, yeah, but you're better than me. So like, job well done.
Amazing.
Yes.
But you survived. That's the important thing.
I survived.
There were no bears.
There was no bears. The worst case scenario, I waited an hour. That was the worst. My worst case is waiting 1 hour. Mm-hmm. Nothing, life or death. Like, Bowie over here, there's a photo of him. Like, obviously the mask is not doesn't show expression. But you can see the expression through this one where he's like, oh, my God, that's a bear. I'm going to die. Have you seen the photos?
I saw the video. Yeah, I haven't seen photos though. Where what photo is this?
Oh, I just typed in Seattle Kraken bear on Google.
Yep.
And then click images. It's the first image. It's a picture of him looking back as the bear is in the water.
Oh God.
It is great.
Oh, that's incredible.
That's the things that make you poop your pants.
And that bear is
that's a brown bear.
Yep.
They don't fuck. Neither bears mess around.
No, yeah.
Like, you're done either way. Just, like, hope it's not terrible. Like, hope they get tired or bored.
Oh, my God. That's insane. That's not far apart either. All right. Well, speaking of Seattle Kraken, let's do our deep dive. Let's start with what do you think they're going to want to improve? What are their thoughts on this season so far, on last season that is now over?
Yeah, my thing is, I think they're kind of in this weird, are we rebuilding in like year five or like where we're at? They have not afraid to spend money. They still have a nice chunk of change in their cap space. Last year was a disappointment, and then they started selling people at the trade deadline. They finished seventh in the Pacific Division.
Yeah, they were only better than the Sharks, so I don't think they have anything to do.
Which isn't saying a lot. just looking at their top goal scorer, they didn't have a 30-goal scorer. They had, Jaden Schwartz had 26, Ellie Tavanen had 23, Jared McCann had 22. Assists, Jared McCann had 39, Chandler Stephenson had 38, Vince Dunn had 28. And overall points, Jared McCann coming in at 61, Chandler Stephenson at 51, Jaden Schwartz at 49. Not a huge offensive presence in this team.
Mm-hmm.
They really didn't, Jared McCann was their one bright spot, and even he kind of tapered off halfway through the year.
Yeah.
Jaden Schwartz getting 26 goals is nice. Ellie Tavolin breaking 20. Chandler Stephenson is always going to be a consistent playmaker, so him at 51 points is kind of par for the course.
Sure.
But not a lot to really be excited about offensively. Now, I will say that Shane Wright, who's one of their younger players, did have a breakout year at 44 points, 19 goals, 24 assists. I'm still kind of waiting to see Matty Beniers, who's another one of these young players that they have, really kind of take that next step. And I think a lot of it has to do with like solid lines and consistency. I feel like Seattle gets into like a jam midway through the year and they start kind of having a fire sale. I feel that was kind of the case last year where they, they moved on at the trade deadline from like Yanni Gourde, mm-hmm. Tanev, Bjorkstrand. And, they only really got back Kaapo Kakko in a trade, who surprisingly had a great run with them. And he definitely earned his contract extension this year. He had 30 points in 49 games. Former number two pick overall by the Rangers. Really kind of stepped up. And I think he just needed a change of scenery. And I think he's someone to look forward to progressing in this season coming up. But as we talk about last season, you know, not a lot of positives that the team unfortunately didn't play as well as they would have liked. They did have some key injuries like Vince Dunn, who's probably their best defenseman, definitely a really strong offensive defenseman, former Stanley Cup winner with St. Louis. Really, you know, it hurt having him out of the lineup most of the for the time he was out.
Mm-hmm.
And that showed. I mean, yeah, they went out and got another really solid offensive defenseman and Stanley Cup winning Brendan Montour from Florida. But yeah, that's kind of the team in a nutshell. I think, you know, they just didn't play up to expectation, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see what this year brings. I have a feeling that this year might be some of the same. I don't see, you know, a huge change. I think, you know, they made some moves that they got some players out, like Andre Burkowski. He's now in Chicago. He's someone who they brought in after winning a Stanley Cup, hope to like kind of help bolster their team. They brought in, you know, this year Mason Marchment in the trade, Frederick Rudreau. Those are some solid players. I mean, and they got Ryan Lindgren on defense. So their defense is pretty strong overall. I like their decor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you got to put up points. You got to score.
Well,
and
I will say it's not all bad news. They actually finished 16th in average goals scored per game last season with 2.99. So that's right in the middle. And, you know, it's not terrible, but I will say, or it's not the best, but it's not terrible. And it is the fourth highest improvement in goal scoring from the previous season, adding 0.38 games, 0.38 goals per game to 2.99. And it seems like that's been the trending case for the past three seasons. They are slowly but surely getting better. I know that's not necessarily reflected by their 27th finish overall, but I think there is, I don't think it's time for like a, it's not, you know, a disaster. I think they're gonna get there. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm not. Look, I'm not being a pessimist here. I just, you know, my thing is with this squad, they go out and they bring in some top end talent. They bring in some strong guys like Chandler Stephenson, Brendan Montour, you know, and, you know, this offseason, bringing in, I think, Mason Marchment's a huge, huge move in the right direction. You know, they're able to trade for some of these former first-round picks, kind of under-the-radar guys who kind of get second life with Kaapo Kakko. And a few years ago, they traded for Eli Tolvanen from Nashville, who, you know, definitely playing better in this system. So, you know, there are some positive things. I like some of the younger players they have, like Ty Cartier. Excuse me. Shane Wright, who had a breakout year, you know, he can do that again. And now we're looking at a team that's got a bunch of young guys under 25 who are really moving the needle for them.
Yeah. So it looks like we're not expecting, you know, it looks like they didn't do enough this offseason to boost like a big score, you know, have a big turnaround for next season.
And truth be told, the way things broke down this year, all like we said before, sneezing is part of life and it happens. But there wasn't a lot. I think there was the people that were available became unavailable rather quickly. So getting someone in free agency was a little bit more tricky. And I think that's why they went out and made a trade to get Mason Marchment, Frederick Rudreau. They brought in Ryan Lindgren. So they got players to definitely help them that are key players for this year. But we'll see what happens. I mean, Lindgren signed for 4 years, so they've got him for a while. He's 27 years old, so that's good.
So what do they try? Do they go for, like, do you think they could find, like, they don't have the high-end scorer they need to, like, get a massive jump in efficiency. But is the natural growth of the young players enough for them now?
I think if Beniers and Wright can get themselves to 20-plus 30 goals on top of what they already have, then they're sitting pretty. Now they got two guys at 21, 22 years old that are perennial 30-goal scorers.
Yeah.
First-round draft picks. you know, now they're you know, in a great place. That's where they need to be. But when I look at this team, I look at their payroll. They have their they got $6.6 million in available in cap space. They have Jaden Schwartz, Jordan Eberle, Mason Marchment, Eli Tavanen, all UFAs after this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really have, other than Beniers and Chandler Stevenson, they don't have anyone locked up long term. So this team is really built on a short term spectrum. And what I see there is the opportunity, like, all right, well, we're out of it mid playoff. You know, we're out of the playoffs by the middle of the season. I got four offensive players that I could essentially just trade and get some really good draft picks or get some really good prospects, and it isn't really going to cost me much.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
You know,
go ahead. Sorry. Finish up your thought.
No, I think that's what I see. Like, I don't see them locking up, like, you know, Jaden Schwartz had 26 goals last year. He's getting $5.5 million. If they're out of it by, like, the middle of November, trade him. Yeah. Get something for him because you may not re-sign him.
Why do you think they played it so safe this year? Was it just unavailability of players that, you know, you said they got drafted too quickly or, you know, got gobbled up by the bigger teams? What, but it seems like they're really playing it safe. They're not doing much. Are they just want to grow little by little? Are they okay with this being another growth year? Or why else would they not want to make a big move?
Yeah, I think I don't. They're still such a new. I think this is their fourth year, maybe fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
They're a very young team. They don't have a perennial big name superstar either traded for or homegrown. I think the opportunity for someone like Shane Wright or Matty Beniers to be that person is there for the taking.
Sure.
I think they got to kind of find their identity, what type of team they're going to be, and build on that. You know, they're just chalking up first round draft picks. I mean, they're you know, it's a challenging, you know, for them to get any of these big free agents. They 2 years ago, they brought in two of the bigger names. Yeah, Chandler Stevenson was second in points, but he had 51 points. They didn't have anyone break 60. They had 61 points. They didn't have anyone score 30 goals. So it's like, you know, where's the offense going to come from? And those are the things that I look at. I mean, not every team's going to have a superstar, but you got to have that, at least that one guy can put up 30 goals,
mm-hmm.
you know?
All right, we've talked a lot about their offense. Let's move to their defense. It doesn't look like much has changed. The only defensive pairing that we'll see a change is in the third set. So Krakenstein, Ryan Lindgren. 4 years, and
yeah,
that's pretty much it.
It's a nice pickup. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, they don't even, I mean, just looking at their draft, I mean, the last time they drafted a defenseman high is Riker Evans, and that was in 2021 in the second round. You know, that was their first draft ever, and he was the 35th pick. I mean, from then, they've drafted nothing but first round. They've drafted essentially just all offensive players. Four of the five drafts have been centers, and they've drafted Jake O'Brien last year at eighth. Yeah, they just keep drafting. They you know, they don't have a lot of growth in that department from within. You know, I mean, obviously they've only been around for 5 years. It's not like they have a huge wealth of you know, draft picks and, like, you know, lottery there. But yeah, I mean, their defense is kind of locked in. I mean, Vince Dunn is probably their anchor, in my opinion. They got Brendan Montour, who's phenomenal. You know, as a right-handed shot defenseman, puck mover, offensive defenseman. They got you know, Ryan Lindgren and Adam Larson, who are solid guys. They got Josh Mahara, who's a serviceable defenseman. And then they got, as an RFA, Riker Evans. So we'll see if he gets re-signed, probably. I don't see them not re-signing him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going from there, I mean, they locked up Joey DeCord as their goalie of the future for the next 6 years at $5 million a year, and then two more years left with Philip Grubauer. So, I mean, they have the opportunity to be a sneaky team and put the pressure on there and kind of really make people work to get to those playoff spots. But I mean, I don't see them in the playoffs this year. I don't think they're there yet, but I think they could definitely take the step in the next direction.
Yeah.
And it's really going to come down to how well do Shane Wright and Matty Beniers play? How well do they move the puck in the right direction, quote unquote? And it runs through them. I think everyone else is kind of like, you know, we'll wait and see what happens. I think if Marchman has a big year, which is very possible, you know, this team could be a spoiler. They're, you know, that's their cap. You know, probably finish between fifth and seventh in the division.
Yeah.
Once again, I don't see them, you know, making a bigger jump than that. But you know, that's where they're kind of positioned right now.
Fair enough. Okay, so let's talk. Where do you think they will end up finishing this next season? They don't make the playoffs. How are they going to do it? Are they going to improve? Or are they going to stay in seventh?
I could see them finishing seventh again. I don't think they've done anything that really like jumps out at me. Like, oh my god, this team has made that big step. But I think if the young players develop more, grow, that's a positive. You know, because San Jose is probably going to finish eighth again. I don't see them. they signed a ton of players. They went out and got all these veterans at 1 year deals. They're going to be competitive, but I feel like they're going to put Mike Greer is not afraid to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
And come middle of the season, he's like, oh, I got all the, oh, cool. What do you need? Oh, cool. I need a draft pick. Cool. I need this. I need that. And now he's moving all those guys out. He's building that wealth of that talent in terms of draft picks and prospects. And in like 2 years, San Jose is going to be just so nasty when all these guys finally hit the pros.
Fair enough.
You know,
time will tell, but not now.
Time will tell. Like Cindy Lauper said, time after time. For all those folks who know who Cindy Lauper is, she's a musician.
Just leave that there. Yes, she is a musician. All right. Anything else we need to cover?
She plays the music. She makes the music time after time.
Oh, God. Anything else you want to cover about Seattle?
They got that wharf where you could throw fish. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The Pike Street Market.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about this. Tell me, what is this?
So there's like a market, and they have like the fish throwing. You could throw fish.
Oh, is that like a Seattle thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's frowned upon elsewhere because people eat fish, but there you could throw them.
All right.
Yeah. Launching fish.
Fun stuff. All right. Well,
yeah. I don't know what else to do. I've never been to Seattle, so I don't know what else is there to do. I'm sure there's a lot of cool things.
I've heard, but you know, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard things about there. They used to have the Supersonics, but they left.
Fair enough.
Yeah, they just had enough of the fun.
All right, then we'll wrap this one up then for the Seattle Kraken. Any last minute things you want to talk about in the league before we wrap it up?
No, it's been. I mean, end of July, early August is relatively quiet. All those Alex Lafreniere from LA got a nice little deal. Kudos to him. He's a player who's on the upswing for LA. I think signing him was very important for that squad. That was really it. Nothing else really major came over. I know the Olympic orientation rosters went out, and you know we're kind of gearing up for that. They're going to do that stuff right before the regular season kicks off in spring, and you know the preseason, kind of dialing in who's going to be potential Olympians, which is pretty nice. But yeah, nothing really. I mean, business wise. The free agents are still free agents. The RFAs are still the RFAs. The players that I thought would be moved and traded by now have not. And I think in the next couple weeks, we'll see those guys, those free agents, those UFAs and RFAs finally get those deals. You know, so we'll see. I mean, I'm still surprised that someone like Luke Hughes, Mason McTavish, Marco Rossi, and Connor Zeri haven't had those moves, those deals locked in yet. So really interested to see when and what transpires there.
Mm-hmm.
So
fair enough. All right. Yeah. Well, that about does it for this episode. please join us next week for more deep dives on teams on the next episode of Draft and Hockey. See you soon.